Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This crowd was singing High Hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, High Hopes, High Hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo, it is. Another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. At least the Phillies are partnering with someone, because they're certainly not partnering with all these awesome players who are available to go get. Kyle freaking Tucker actually gets traded, and it's just like, oh, he's going to the Cubs. It's like nothing else. It's like, wasn't even a discussion. Freaking Crochet gone. Soto, we talked about, gone. How you doing? I'm recording on a Saturday. How are you, buddy? Things are great.
No, they're not. No, they're not at all, actually. I totally disagree with you. Things are not great. So
yeah. Thank you.
We had to call an emergency state of the Phillies because there's going to be a lot of emotions on this podcast. I'm going to start off with Fan Guy Jack before I nauseate you with reality-ish Jack, which
can't wait for that.
I'm equally as disappointed in reality Jack as I am all of our listeners are going to be. So I want to start with Fan Jack, because I am just beyond frustrated that we are sitting here, we're watching other teams get better, we're seeing the Cubs, who aren't really in a World Series window at all, go get Kyle Tucker. And on the Kyle Tucker trade specifically, I probably wouldn't have put Aiden Miller in the deal. I just wouldn't. I know.
For a 1 year rental, I can. I agree with you on that.
And I think.
Was that? I don't know the Cubs prospect well enough. Is it Aiden Miller level prospect they gave up?
So for me, he's not as good as Aiden Miller, but he's better than Justin Crawford. And I think that's the difference, is that they don't have someone in between Justin Crawford and Aiden Miller that they can deal in a deal like Kyle Tucker. And from everything I've heard, he's going to go to market. He's going to test the free agent market, and then he's open to everyone. I would be shocked if he is going to sign a contract extension with the Cubs. If he does, furious. But on its surface, I'm not giving up Aiden Miller for 1 year of Kyle Tucker. So, and on Crochet, that was a huge package as well. It's just we continue to sit here and we're watching other teams get better, and we're watching the Phillies seemingly just sit on their hands. And I don't know what the plan is. I don't know where they go from here. And from the outside looking in, it just looks like they're scrambling. It looks like they didn't. There were some things that happened this offseason, heading into the offseason, that maybe if it broke their way, they would have gotten done. But right now, they look like they're scrambling, because I don't know what the clear move is to go out and improve the baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they thought they were going to get Crochet. I think Crochet was their plan number one. It didn't play out. Again, I can't blame them for not giving up Painter or Miller in that deal, particularly both of them, obviously, in that deal. Like, I get it. I wasn't gung-ho to do that, so I understand that. And to your point, I agree. I'm not giving Aiden up in a Kyle Tucker deal if I know that Kyle Tucker's not signing here. And to your point, that's exactly what it seems like. Kyle Tucker, all the messaging from his camp is, hey, he's not signing with whoever trades for him. Like, ain't happening. And look, after one, Soder's got 765. Like, Kyle Tucker's not going to get that. But, like, if I'm Kyle Tucker, guess what? I'm going to free agency, too. Like, I just saw bidding work up to $765 million. Like, of course I would. So, like, I'm with you in that I don't – in each specific move, like, the big three that we could say we like – the three guys we had hoped they were in on coming into the offseason in Soto, Crochet, Tucker, who got moved. The fact that, like, in each individual one, like, I don't blame them for not paying $770 million to get Juan Soto. Like, I'm okay with that. It's bummed, but I get it. I'm okay that they didn't give up what they had to give up to Crochet. Bummed about it, but I get it. Same thing with Kyle Tucker, but to your point, like, even though I'm okay with each individual move, like, now we're sitting at a point where it's like, it feels like it's going to be the same freaking team as last year, man. Like, it feels like it's going to be some fringe moves. It's going to be maybe another bullpen move and some sort of bat type guy for the outfield or something. And we're looking at a re-rack, the exact same thing. It's a Merrifield type offseason is what it feels like we're heading towards now. Maybe there's one slightly bigger move than that. But to your point, it feels like Crochet was going to be their move, and they were going to move around that as their big piece move. They got outbid, and now they don't really know what to do.
Sounds like you're dreaming of a Whit Christmas.
Oh, buddy.
Come on.
How long were you? Yeah, no.
Well, I almost said Merrifield Christmas, but that didn't flow as well. So
no, Whit Christmas is much better. It's
thank you.
It's very good. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for. I'm sure everyone really wanted that and needed that. So.
And the other thing on top of what you just said is they clearly overvalue Alec Bohm. It's as simple as that. This is not to dump on Alec Bohm. I think Alec Bohm's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. I think he's a good
player. He's a solid to good baseball player.
But if they, and I don't know if the deal was true, but I think they think he should be worth George Kirby or Logan Gilbert. And that's insane.
That's like the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's like the Eagles saying, yeah, Jalen Hurts is worth Pat Mahomes. Sure. Like, it's a crazy, who could think that?
Well, and again, I don't think the trade package was real, the one that Jim Bowden threw out.
It better not be. If they offered Bohm and Castellanos as a centerpiece package for Kyle Tucker, like, honestly, like, that's the kind of thing, like, that, like, would be told at, like, winter meetings for years to come. Like, GMs would get together and be like, hey, remember that time Dombo did that? What the hell was he thinking, moron? You know, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Are we a professional organization or not?
Well, I just would love to know how fast the Astros said no. I just
would, oh, like, my God. Do you think they probably couldn't get the words out of their mouth? Like, Dombrowski was like, all right, here's what I'm thinking. And by the time he was finished talking, there was a dial tone. Like, he just was gone.
I'm shocked that wasn't enough to bring Kyle Tucker to Philadelphia.
Oh, my God.
I implored. But
yeah, but to your point that, like, I hope that that's not true, because to your point, especially combined with missing out on the Crochet trade and all, it shows a misunderstanding of the market, and that could be a real issue, like a misdiagnosis of what the market was going to be for these guys.
So, yeah, and we sit here on December 14th, and we can put all the disclaimers out there we want. You can, it's a long off season, and, you know, there's plenty of time to make moves and yada, yada, yada. But what the two things that infuriate me, and obviously, you know, on this podcast, we are mostly, well, I'm me more than you, 100%. Prospect huggers. I love prospects. I think they're phenomenal. But at the same time, and like we have said many times,
yeah, they're in a window.
You have to have confidence in the people that are developing the prospects that you'll be able to continue to find top talent. And I think they've gone so far, and this is just my read of it, but I feel as if they've gone so far with trying to overcorrect for what happened from 2012 to 2019 that they're missing what is right in front of them. And what's right in front of them is a bunch of players that are in the middle or exiting their prime, And in Real Muto's case, and in Schwarber's case, who, I mean, I would not be surprised if they extended both of them at some point. You know, I could totally see JT coming back. There's no doubt about it. Great. Until he's not wearing a Phillies uniform.
37-year-old JT out there hobbling out behind the plate would be great.
Yep. So I think that they're going so far from the standpoint of we don't want to leave the cupboard bare like we did from, you know, 2012 to 2018. We're not going to trade any of our top-ish kind of guys. And what ultimately sunk that team is that kind of stuff. But they also did not keep piling on prospect-wise. They did not have good draft structure. They did not have good player development. They were so far behind the times on that kind of stuff. It's almost like they're just afraid to pull the trigger. Now, at the same time, the reality is, James, and this is part of the reality side of my brain, is that I think they're a year and a half, 2 years away from having a surplus there to where you're not gutting the system or you don't have enough guys. Like, I think they have a lot of interesting guys right now, but I don't think that on the bottom half of the top 10, they've popped enough to be intriguing for other teams. So I think they're building that. It seems to me like right now in watching the other trades that get done that they don't have the kind of needle moving prospects or even interesting prospects to get some of these deals done. And they don't want to move Aiden. I don't think they want to move Justin Crawford and Aiden and Andy Painter. Andrew Painter is untouchable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think everything you said is true, but it leaves them in a really precarious, yes, awkward, yes, spot.
Yes.
I mean, like, we're, as we've said, you know, something else we talked about, you know, a million times is they're smack dab in the middle of a window with a bunch of guys who are, as you mentioned, either in their prime or on the backside or exiting soon, likely, maybe some have their prime. So, you know, when you combine that with a group of minor leaguers where you're, you know, you've got some high-end guys you're excited about, but you don't have that middle tier. You don't have the depth yet from which to trade. Like it's almost like they're trying to serve two masters and ultimately they're not going to make either one happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And I've heard this take, and I'm sure that Dombrowski will throw this out. I think they're going to make a move at some point.
I think they'll do something. It's just not going to be, you know, it's not going to be the offseason we had hoped it was going to be, the transformative offseason, you know?
Yeah. So I think that, the one take that I've heard thrown out there is, listen, this is still a 90 plus win ball club, even if they don't make a move. And while I don't like totally disagree, I also don't know how good they're going to be next year. I mean,
I feel the same way. They were 95 once, they were 90, 89. Like, it's not like they've like been like the Dodgers every year. You know what I mean? And also, they were a below 90 win club pace wise for more than half the season last year.
They were a 500 ball club from June 10th on. I mean,
it's more than half the season.
And you look at the team last year, pretty healthy. I mean, overall, it wasn't like they had devastated, and especially
like Ranger, staff. You know, had the injury, and that was pretty much it on the starting staff. You know, the other guys were healthy all year long. Bullpen, for the most part, was healthy all year long. Alvarado had that little thing, but you're right. And the bats, I mean,
Harper really was dealing with something. JT
something,
had
but Harper still was in the lineup all year for the first time. I mean, like, you know, other than his MVP year, and even then he was out for that 3 weeks when he got hit in the face or whatever. But
they had the knee surgery on JT, and Trey missed 6 weeks with the hamstring.
Trey missed the 6 weeks, but you're right, for the most part, and they certainly went into the playoffs fully loaded and healthy.
Yeah, so they got dealt a pretty good hand last year, and I just you look at them, and I think we can expect. Is Wheeler going to pitch to a 2-5 again? I don't think he's going to pitch to a 3-5, but I think he'll be somewhere in the middle. Nola, somewhere between 3 and 3-5. Chris Sanchez, can he do it again? I hope so.
I think so.
3-5-ish, I think, fair for him. Rangers in a contract year, which is really interesting. You know, so he's pitching for a big deal if he's here.
Yeah, I think he's one of them. At this point, it wouldn't be shocked to see them trade Ranger.
And Andrew Painter, I think the people, he's not going to be the fifth starter. I mean, he's going to throw between 70 and 110 innings. I mean, that's the realistic outlook.
And you got to make him count.
So, and Taiwan's still here, by the way. So, I've heard the, well, we're still a good club. And I think they're fine. I don't think that they are. I know the World Series odds are a little much for me, but I don't know how truly, I think they're good at a lot of areas. I don't know what they're great at.
Well, and I totally agree with that, especially, and look, you can't just play the game of stacking them up against competition, but especially when you look at the Dodgers, I mean, you do have to, that is the big bad sitting at the top of the conference and the top of the league that you have to be, and they were already better than you last year, and they got better, and Shohei's pitching this year, and then the Mets obviously got Soto, and I don't think any of us think they're done making moves this offseason, and they already were better than you last year at the end of the day. So, you know, I'm right there with you in that, like, people like it's a foregone conclusion, especially after three straight years of making runs. Like, it starts to catch up with teams, and we've definitely seen teams take a step back or whatever, and I'm not saying I expect that. I just think the competition level's pretty high, especially in the division. I mean, the Braves and the Mets are both going to be good. How good? I don't know, but they're both going to be good. Like, this is not something where the Phillies come in and kind of have this guaranteed playoff spot that's just, like, theirs. Like, that's the way people talk about it. People are like, well, they'll make the playoffs, then anything can happen. It's like, what? And then outside of just this regular season 90 win thing we're talking about, like, fine, let's say they do that. Let's say the Joe DeCameras of the world who are like, they're so great team, they won 95 games, they got a good chance anyone. Fine. When they get to the playoffs, if it's still the same structure of the group that we saw last year, then what faith? Why should we possibly think that they're going to get to the playoffs and all of a sudden change how they go about their business? So it's like, yes, the regular season part of it, but then even if they do get to the playoffs, like, maybe, sure, that's a plan. Maybe things will change, you know?
They have not changed the lineup as it currently stands since game 7 of the D-back series.
Wow, that's a great point. Wow.
I mean, they haven't. It's the same lineup. It's essentially the same lineup since game 7 of the D-back series. And I don't know if you heard, James, but they're going to have tougher conversations with them about using the whole field. So you have to factor that in.
Oh, we're talking, fine then. Yeah, good call. Yeah.
Everything's good. Everything's good. Cool. The other thing that is hampering them as we continue.
By the way, real quick, speaking of the conversations and them, like, just putting stuff out there, you called the, like, what was it, like 10 minutes after we were done the pod, Rob Thompson comes out and does the, we love Alec. He's not going anywhere. He's the best. It was like 10 minutes after we finished the pod. We're like, someone has to go out and say something. That
why would they? Well, we were never. I mean, he's a good player. We're taking a lot of calls on Alec Bohm. We're not actively shopping Alec Bohm. Yes, yes. Okay. As we play semantics here about the Alec Bohm trade market, a.k.a. we haven't received what we would like for Alec Bohm. So.
Wow, he's not as valuable as we thought, guys. We're keeping him, I guess.
Yeah. So as we continue to kind of, you know, ramble our way through this thing, the other thing that is 100% affecting them that was not a factor last year is that Wheeler's number jumped from 25 million to 43 million. I mean, this is the first year of the Wheeler extension. So that's $16 million of new money that you have to factor into all the tax kind of things. That's essentially adding a new player, James. I mean,
well, yeah, no one off the books. Like, it's not like they shed. I mean, I guess Whit Merrifield's money off the books. You know, like, they didn't. It's not like they shed massive.
Austin Hayes, they non-tendered. How close are we to bringing back Austin Hayes? By the way, you know, can't you just feel it in your bones? Hey, I had a kidney issue last year. I want to prove myself. We believed in this guy at the deadline. He's healthy. He's healthy now. We believe in Austin Hayes. We think he can go out there and be a difference maker for this ball club.
Right now, this is not the time.
On a Saturday morning that I made you record.
Yeah, I know. I have to go to work in like 35 minutes. So yeah, not what I needed. Yeah.
you can feel that in your bones though, right? I mean, this offseason has just been brutal. And off of what happened last year and what happened off the Diamondback series, basically, so just racking this thing. They sat out 23 offseason. They sat out 24 deadline. And so far, outside of Jordan Romano, who in classic me fashion has really
good.
He said he wanted to take a 1-year deal to reestablish his market.
Bro, I was in from the jump. You were the one who needed to get talked into it. I think it's a really nice move.
He's got to be confident in that elbow. He said he's already throwing in the mid-90s. Love to hear it. Also, if you want to go through pitch profiles, him and Hoffman basically.
Who
the same
doesn't
kind of
want to go through pitch profiles? You know what I mean?
Like, him and Hoffman's stuff is almost identical. So we got the better Jeff Hoffman
for way cheaper. Well done.
For way cheaper. Yep, and then when he's great, if he's great, they're not going to pay him. So awesome. We're going to have one year of Jordan Romano. But at least, dude. I don't know if I said this on the air. I don't know if I said this on the solo pod I did. If they bring up Tanner Banks as a viable option one more time, I'm gonna blow a gasket. He is a guy who should be relegated to the fifth and sixth inning when you need an out against a lefty. He is not a viable option late in baseball games. Let's knock that one out. Jose Alvarado, we're hoping, has a bounce back year. It's Alvarado. It's Strom. Maybe go sign AJ Minter.
Wow. Bunch of lefties.
Do you know who's in the division now? Do you know who's on the West Coast now?
Yes, you are right.
And
yes,
I don't think, and shocking.
You know what the problem is? Might need some righties in that pen too, Jack.
We got
Kirkery and Romano. And that's it. Oh, we can bring Estevez back. Yay!
Still linked to him.
Oh, probably end up being too expensive for us this offseason, so that's good.
Dude, Well, Jose Ruiz. You forgot Jose Ruiz.
I do like that. That was actually hand up. I really do like Jose Ruiz.
All right, out there you go.
That's my guy.
If you could sign, would you rather sign another lefty or another righty?
I'd rather sign a good reliever.
Oh, that's a big take by you. Yeah. Sorry.
Someone who's going to come in and get outs.
Well, I would love. Would it kill them to sign Tanner Scott? They won't at this point.
He's going to be way out of their price range. Are you kidding me? Tanner Scott. They'll probably get like $60 million or something, and they'll be like, "Whoa, how could you do that?"
Well, and my point on the bullpen is because I swear, James. And this is not to sound, it's going to sound like I'm being arrogant, but it's really not hard to build a good bullpen. I refuse to believe.
Yes. This is tell them, buddy. Go off, King.
I think on paper, they have a good bullpen right now.
And they did last year until the very end, like credit where due. They built a good bullpen last year. Yeah.
No, the bullpen this is not about last year, but actually I felt this way at the deadline and it annoyed me. But if let's say you don't want to spend the prospect capital to go get a difference making bat. Okay. I'll believe you at that. You don't want to spend the difference making capital to go and get another top flight starter to make that a strength. Go spend a little. Like, bullpen arms do not cost that much. Like Kittredge is going to cost $8 to $10 million, around there. Just build a super pen then. I mean, my point with the Phillies right now is that I think they're good at a lot of areas, but they're not great at anything. And if you could, at this point, you might as well just go try to build as much of a super bullpen as you can, since you don't want to spend a lot of money on another starter or another, or they're going to get an outfielder. I don't know if it's going to be a trade
but they got to get someone. Yeah.
But take a strength and make it a super strength. Yeah. You got to find ways to be a difference maker in October. And if you don't want to spend it in other areas, you might as well spend it in the area that's quote unquote the cheapest.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And also an area that at the end of the day, you know, you can win with. If you have the best bullpen in October that shows up in October, like, that's a way to win. You know, that in and of itself is a way to win. So especially because starting pitching, you know, should be this team's strength again, we would hope, we would think. All right, I got one more thing, and then if you have anything else, but you actually sent this to me, and we have to bring it up. But this is from Mark Healy, I believe.
Yeah, he does some serious stuff.
Mark tweeted out, heard Cubs like Pete Alonso, which Scott Boras recently confirmed. Mariners also linked to Pete, but I think that's posturing. Brace yourselves. Also heard Phillies are thinking about signing Pete, which doesn't make sense. So good source, what worth mentioning. Don't you dare pump your fist. What, like, I mean, We've talked about the possibility of Bryce going back to right field, which I do think, like, at the end of the day, if it were to win a World Series, I do think Bryce would do it. I don't think this is what's going to happen, but your just overall thoughts on the concept of Pete Alonso to Philadelphia.
Well, first, would you sign, would you give Bryce's extension if it came with you have to move back to right field for 2 years or 3 years?
Sure.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
Hey, we float ideas out.
Whatever it takes at this point, man. I'm trying to get a freaking ring, all right? And if Bryson right field helps me get a ring, which I think it probably will, the way this team building offseason has gone, then yeah, I'm down.
Whatever. Again, would prefer Christian Walker. Let me just lay out that disclaimer. So for multiple reasons at the end of this podcast, I'm glad, listen, we had to bring this up. And I'm glad.
That's why I waited until the back.
There's going to be multiple, because I have something else that I actually think is maybe more embarrassing.
Ooh.
Later in of an idea that I have. Good. And it's possibly the most coping, like the most coping I've ever done in this podcast.
Great.
So we'll get to that.
Okay.
While I very, 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 very much do not like Pete Alonso.
Hate, I think it's
I would take the polar bear.
And
I sort of need him. I sort of.
No. That was too far. And if I would take him, period, is like we could get there. You know, we could talk our way. Like the sentence has to stop there at worst, Jack.
Sort of need him. 35 plus home runs in the middle of the lineup. They need a real four hole hitter. It bumps everyone else.
I do like
that
he's a right handed bat, which does help.
Dude, they need a four hole hitter. They need a move.
Preferably right handed. I mean, they're the Schwarber and Harper, and can we get a right handed stick in here?
You bump everyone else down. If you're going to keep Bohm anyway, you bump him.
We have to watch him play every day, dude. Every day we have to do the stupid check swing thing and the little shimmy and the dumb face all the time. Oh, come on, man. Yeah. One of my things, and I have a lot of dumb things, but I don't think this is unique, but I like to harp on it. Sports are supposed to be fun, Jack. They're supposed to be fun. We choose to spend our time with these teams. We don't have to. Well, you and I do. It's our job, but most people don't. Like it's a choice. It's an elective choice. Do you want to choose of your own volition to spend 3 hours a night with Pete Alonso for 6 months? Because like even saying that sentence, I'm like cringing.
Well, first off, games are about 2.5 hours now. And it would not be 6 months. It would probably be 12 months with a 2-year deal or one in an option. And so I would say it's going on 12. So the case for Alonso,
and explain why he would take a 1-year deal with an option instead of just trying to get a big contract.
Well, Passan said the other day there's no market for Pete Alonso.
Really?
So, so first off,
what a fall.
I know. So he would get to stick it to the Mets, which would be funny. Yeah, and hopefully he goes off and whatever. It seems like the A's are the team that's most interested in him. I don't think he's going to be an A. And by the way, poor Oakland, right? They move, they're like, hey, Luis Severino, here's $67 million.
Sure. And it's like, that's your choice. I mean, I like Sev. We, fan of him on this pod, multiple perfect off seasons he's been in. But like, you decide to give out your first huge contract in like decades and you're like, oh, that's the guy. Here you go.
Well, they're trying to get Manaea back, and Manaea's like, well, I've been here before. I'm not going back to the A's. So I need a real four-hole hitter. I need another power-hitting right-handed bat. I think with Alonso's market cratering, if I can sign him for if I give him the re-steal where it's a year, he has an option.
Yeah, was it 2 for 36? I mean, it'd probably be a little more, but the idea
two
of the
re-steal
was two. Yeah,
I know, but it becomes obvious that you almost have to say yes, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Yeah. What am I going to say? No to 2 for 40? Yeah, of course I'll say yes to that. Like, sure. This blows. I hate this offseason. Like, why are you doing this to us, Phillies? Like, what? How?
We're down to
we're not even that deep
Alonso.
In the offseason. It's not even 2025 yet, and we're sitting here begging for Pete Alonso. Like, that is tragic.
Oh, where?
For sure. Yeah, give me Pete Alonso. Yay! Pete Alonso emergency pod. Woo!
I'm sick to my stomach as well. But at the end of the day, it comes down. We got to win a title somehow. And he, unfortunately so, would be a needle mover. He would be a needle mover. I would never watch. I would not watch the Home Run Derby. Absolutely not. Would willfully sit it out.
No, yeah, I might. Fandom would be on the fringe at that point. Like, I can't push it over. No.
Seeing him bob his head. I was watching the video of him lifting weights in between sets the other day. Oh God, that was infuriating. So
I hate it. I actively dislike it.
Hey, are we breaking out? Is he allowed to wear number 20? We unretiring?
I'm going to say no on that one. Yeah. Just a nope. Nope.
All right. So yeah. did I convince you?
Gotta draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
Far more than I expected to, actually.
Sign Christian Walker. How about that? That's the
way better idea. All in on that. Let's do that. Bring him home.
Spike yesterday was like, hey, Christian Walker's going to, what, like a 7-year deal? Christian Walker's a 33-year-old first baseman.
Yeah, like 3-year deal, hopefully.
360 is what probably Christian Walker's
going to do that in a second. Yeah.
But bring me the polar bear.
Oh God! All right, are we done? Do you have what's your last thing?
No, I got a lot. Hold on.
Oh my God! All right, we'll do it. Let's quickly. Oh my God! I gotta go work.
Aren't you just waiting for the Arenado notification at this point?
Oh, it's a lock of all locks. Yeah, bet on it.
I can just feel it. I can just feel it coming. Yeah. Is the Arenado trade? Mm-hmm. It's also. I'm just saying. If they're willing to pay down $60 to $80 million of his deal, I love that. Love that sneeze. If they're willing to pay down $60 to $80 million of his deal, it's not a bad time to trade for Trout.
Oh my God.
We're back. We are back.
This is what we're doing here.
Yeah. Well, hold on. You have to factor this in. You have to factor this in as well, James. When I tweeted the Trout joke the other day, which apparently a lot of people thought it was an official report. It was not. Sorry to let everyone down. Mm-hmm. George Lopez. Yes, that George Lopez liked the tweet and followed me. So maybe he has inside information about a Trout trade to Philly.
Twitter's such a weird place, man.
It's very weird.
It's so weird. What a weird place.
It's very weird.
It's a strange world.
I think the best thing left, if I was looking for I guess needle mover, but I don't know. Like a Brendan Donovan Helsley trade is probably the best thing left. He can play left field. I love him. I think he's a winning ball player. Mm-hmm. And then Helsley does give you another lockdown option to turn it into a legit super pen. Like Donovan's under contract through the next 3 years. I mean, Donovan, Helsley, Cucinato, you know? I mean, it's right there.
Sure.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's right
there. Sure.
The biggest loss this offseason was Iverson Castellano. I'm very upset about that.
I felt for you when it happened.
I hope the Twins don't keep him. I need him back in the organization.
I'm sure they won't. Rule 5 so rarely stick with guys. You know what I mean? I feel like it's so rare that a team actually keeps the Rule 5 on the roster for the year, don't you?
Well, who could forget? Well, there's
Noah Song. I mean, we couldn't hang on to him, and he was throwing 98. I mean, come on.
Off the top of my head, the three most notable ones.
Yoan Santana, Shane Victorino, of course. Odubel's a good one. There have been a few others.
Well, do you remember 2016 Tyler Goodell?
I do remember that.
He threw out the guy at the plate to Cameron Rupp. Mm-hmm. Where would Philly's fandom be without that moment?
Probably exactly where it is right now. No difference is my guess. Zero.
So, all right. Last thing I already admitted about Alonso. I thought that was the low point, right?
Yeah.
This might go even lower.
Oh, God.
And it's full on coping. and it's full on. If I can only do this on this podcast because if I put it on Twitter, it's like, this is doing nothing. This is not making the team any better. Dombrowski's cooked. Yada yada yada. I don't feel like dealing with it. But if we are looking for a cheap outfielder ish that would do a good job. I sort of need Randall Grichuk.
I like Randall. I'm fine with it. That's nowhere close to as low as Alonso.
But dude,
I love Grichuk. I think I had Grichuk in a perfect offseason, and you were like, oh, Grichuk.
But getting down to the point where...
That crushes left-handed pitching, man.
Getting down to the point where we're saying, or I'm saying, I sort of need Grichuk as a cheap...
Yeah, you're low. You're low.
A cheap outfield option.
You thought that was lower than Bring Me the Polar Bear?
Well, the polar bear.
Much more divisive. Vast majority of people are like looking up Randall Grichuk right now. So.
Well, so here's...
Maybe not our listeners, because we have smart baseball listeners. But if this run WIP, like, no, people be like, who? Who's Randall Grichuk?
So in September... He hit over 400 with a 1,400 OPS and 7 home runs.
Mm.
So if they're looking for a cheap-ish option,
Randall Grichuk is like up there and like guy I've picked up and dropped the most in the history of fantasy. Like that guy has been on and off teams for his entire career.
Do you want to know my favorite piece of Randall Grichuk trivia?
Sure.
He was picked before Mike Trout. To the same team.
Get out of here. How about that?
Yeah.
The Angels. Two picks in a row?
Yeah. And the second one they used on Mike Trout.
Wow. Which one worked out better? One's still playing. I'm just saying.
Tough to say. So.
One stays on the field.
So, well, Randall Grichuk might have a better year next year than Mike Trout, which is
probably
disappointing.
Will. Yeah, last year.
So that's where I'm at. I'm at the point where I'm begging for a Randall Grichuk signing. How's that? How's that for you?
There's a podcast title somewhere in there. I know that.
By the way, the only way they're going to get a notable move is if they find someone to take Castellanos or Taiwan Walker.
With a prospect, you mean?
Yeah.
Because you mean just period to clear up space because they're not going to go over a certain number.
They are at 290 right now, luxury tax wise, and 301 is the next threshold. Anything over 301. Every dollar spent over 301 is taxed at 110%. So,
which is not the money's not the issue; it's the punitive damages other. But like, yeah, come on, we can afford it. I know we can. I believe in us. Come on,
we'll start a GoFundMe.
Come on, I mean the billionaires can afford it. All right, you got anything else?
No. Make a move. At least bring me Grichuk.
Anything else to make us sad? Is there any other lower rung you would like to drop to?
Oh, well, so did this make me a loser back in 2011? So in 2011, I was a senior in high school, heading into my senior year of high school.
I'm sad I asked the question, but go ahead. Yeah, I'm tired. This is a horrible job I made. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to end it on a semi-positive, is Jack a loser? Because I realized today that I'm a bit of a goofy, sappy dork when it comes to the Phillies. So,
you just realized that today. I'm happy. It's good.
So, in 2011, when they traded for Hunter Pence and he scored the game winning run on a walk off by Raul Ibanez 2 days after getting traded here, and he's doing the post game press conference with Sarge. Mm-hmm. Sarge asked him, "What were you thinking when you were rounding third base?" And Hunter Pence said, "Good game. Let's go eat."
For me,
that was my rallying cry my senior year.
Like, I could see that. You just jumping on that. Yeah.
Was it a cool move or an absolute loser move to make my senior year book quote, "Good game, let's go eat"?
Yeah, total loser move. I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah. I mean, come on. So, you've seen Hunter Pence, right? I mean, it seems like a nice guy.
Well,
like,
I turned very hard on Hunter Pence. I felt he was addicted to grounding into double plays while he was here.
He was. You're right.
And then the second he went to San Francisco,
slamming in the ground. I know, win World Series.
Traded for.
This is something I've known, and at times I know. And just tell me.
Tommy Joseph.
All right. It's been real, buddy. It's been far, far, far too real, some might say. All right. We'll be back this week. I don't know. Maybe the Phillies will do something. That'd be cool. Either way, we'll be back to lament and be sad. But maybe they do something. Maybe they surprise us and go out and get Randall Grichuk this week. Can you imagine?
I would do an emergency podcast.
Yeah, we'll do an emergency podcast. They sign Randall Grichuk.
For Randall Grichuk.
All right.
And I'll bring up his last 54 games.
Can't wait. What a tease that is. All right. Until then, maybe emergency pod. Until then, he's Fritz of Salter.